The only reason why you see me look a bit different from some of you is a revelation. And when Satan knows you have the kind of revelation some of us have, he knows he will leave you alone. After some time, he will leave you alone. I've been counseling ministers, and I hope to talk again with them in the forthcoming ministers' conference. In my office, even this morning, Pastor Emeka from Abuja. Pastor Emeka, wave. Pastor Emeka, give a microphone to just say, he's a visiting minister from Abuja. Greet the church.
Praise God, church. Good morning to all of us in Jesus' name. My name is Pastor Emeka from Abuja. God brought me here for me to be guided and redirected. And I've been blessed being with you people for these past 3 days. Amen. I was with Daddy this morning. God bless you all in Jesus' name.
God bless you. And so I make reference to him. Listen very well. People say this pastor, see the way they preach, they talk, You know, they fear. See the way they talk, I told the young pastor that when I hear a pastor come to me and say nothing is working, I am frustrated. I'm in the ministry, nothing is working. And I say, I never ever understand them, and I hear them regularly. I never ever understand. I try, because God deals with us in various ways, so I don't always like to use my own situation and generalize it. But why I say I can't, I don't even know how to give such counsel. The testimony, my own, you say my ministry is not, I have never complained since I have become a minister of God preaching that my ministry is facing frustration. Never, not for one day. The greatest thing that gives me the most joy on earth, and I'm saying it with all humility, is when I am preaching the gospel. The only time that Satan will frustrate me is if he will make me to become dumb. So I cannot talk again. He make my mouth, he cannot talk. That is the time I will be most frustrated in life. Because the thing that gives me joy, you have taken it away. Nothing else on earth gives me better joy than the preaching of the gospel. And the joy is even, hallelujah, taken to another realm if I can get one soul that through my preaching was united to God. Hey! While ministers pride about the latest cars they drive, the property they have acquired, and all this and all that, latest this, the big mighty projects they have succeeded. Amen. Me, my own testimony is, if I can just get even just one that evidently I can see that this one got converted under my ministry, that's my testimony. So imagine how frustrated I feel when somebody has been in my ministry for how long and there's no change. It makes me feel like a failure. That's the only time I get frustrated. But to say people know they come church, people know they come. If they don't come here, I go. If you don't come church, come hear gospel, I go enter market and they preach. If you don't come, I will follow you. Follow them to where they are. It's a revelation. Not too many of you will understand. That's why people who come close to me, you come to this church and you try to get very close to me, they're always in trouble, because you become suspect. They're the first people. I don't look at demon, But also, I don't look at witch and wizard. If Satan wants to deal with me, he will bring them close to me. If you are not converted, don't come near me. I'm not looking for friends. Because you are going to spoil my testimony. Praise the Lord. Listen. This is the only ministry that will give this much time to the study of the word.
That's right.
By now, in some Pentecostal churches, by now, from 7 a.m., they should be having the fourth service. What do they say? What do they tell them? Just enough time to use 20 minutes to entertain themselves with what they call worship. Then the remaining 10 minutes, short motivational talk. Then the next 30 minutes, collect offerings. Oh, yeah, go next service. And they even want to brag as if it is an achievement that we are having 56 services on a Sunday. Not that the hall is too small, so you hold it so that the next set can come and have room. Not that. I watched a particular one time in my hotel room in Abuja. I noticed that the same faces we sit down for first service and then second service. I saw them, I saw them, I said, ah, this one then. May God help us. Listen, salvation is a mystery. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Note verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. How many of them are here? How many people love him here? How many people love him? How many? How many? How many? You love him. You love him. That's why you have forsaken everything to be in his presence. He said, but, verse 10, God has revealed them unto us. Revelation. Revelation. He has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Listen, and it is that revelation that we try to cause the people to understand. It will help you to move from religion to true Christianity. It will help you to understand who we are. And when we talk about the end time message, you will now understand who we are. We will continue to say things that will build your understanding, establish your understanding of this great mystery of salvation. It's so mysterious that it takes God himself to reveal this mystery for you to be part of the salvation process. And it is most unfortunate that people gather, people enter into the ministry and say they are pastors and they have no knowledge of this mystery. They create the confusion that is in Christianity today. That's the truth. They are the ones that create the confusion until a minister thinks he's not successful in his ministry until he's living in some big mansion. He owns houses, he owns cars, he owns worldly property. Church, what has acquisition of property got to do with the ministry of reconciliation? What has that got to do with it? for a minister. And that is what the kind of thing they produce. So new young ministers coming up, they are looking up to them to be like them. And so they think that they are not acquiring, they don't have the kind of money they acquire the kind of thing other people acquire, the big names. Some of these names are big before you, but God may not even know them. The whole world may know you as the biggest pastor of the whole world, but God may not even know the person. Matthew 7:21 says so. Why I'm saying this is I have discovered that the most popular Christian channel now is the Bright Television, the world over. I'm saying so that those who watch me may catch something that will help them in their Christian journey. It's true. And some of us don't even know. Don't desire to be like any man on earth here. Don't envy anybody's prosperity. You don't know the secret of his wealth. You may not know the secret of his wealth. Some of them pray for cocaine pushers to succeed and bring them tight. Some of them do money laundering using their church account. I know so because I have been approached several times, both by cocaine pushers who even bring tithes, and people who wanted to use our church account for money laundering. Then we will give you this, then you will give us back this. Just let us use your account. They want to go and steal somebody's money and use your account. And then when they catch you, say, well, I don't know, it's offering. We don't. It's offering, they brought offering, we don't know where it came from. Okay, we don't know where it came from, it's offering, we use it for the work of God. Then they will tell you that the riches of, the riches of the Gentiles. Praise God. Wherever the money is coming from, collect it. After all, silver and gold belong to God. Wherever, collect it and use it for the gospel. Meanwhile, they are not even using it for the gospel. They are using it to live big. Church, the mystery is deep. Therefore, you just be a good soldier and stand at your post. Do what God has called you to do. Necessity is laid upon us to say certain things that will build up our most holy faith. Amen. That God will answer our prayer, the same prayer Apostle Paul prayed, that I may know him.
Hallelujah.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his suffering is a fellowship of his suffering. He suffered. Me too, I will suffer. That's the fellowship. You follow me? Pick up your cross and follow me. That is the fellowship. Being made conformable unto his death.
That's right.
The reason why he died, that it might be achieved in my life. And may God answer that prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. The Ethiopian eunuch said, he was reading Isaiah 53. Philip came and asked him, do you know the meaning of what you are reading? And he said, how can I know except somebody explain it to me? So God raised us to explain some of these mysteries to us. And may somebody be better established today in the name of Jesus. What we try to do, like I told Brother Lumide earlier in the day, that some of these messages, I cannot go in detail because of time. But what I try to do is to lay it down, summarize it as much as possible to give a picture. Then during the program on television, the Rapture Watch, will now take enough time and explain it. Amen. Verse by verse, line by line, because we have more time, over 2 hours sometimes, on that program. But enough for you to understand, the topic we're looking at today, I title it The Exodus.
Hallelujah.
It's a great mystery there. The Exodus. Exodus is a Greek word that means going out or exit or departure. That's the meaning of Exodus.
I hear you, sir.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The mystery of redemption, the whole process of salvation, is summed up in this word, Exodus. The Exodus. The going out. Exiting. Departure. From one place to another. From where? Always. Exodus goes with going out of bondage. The children of God going out of bondage. What happened in the Garden of Eden? Sold us out. Got us, Adam and all his generations, into bondage. Amen. So that song writer says, he said, you got me into trouble,
yes, sir,
but Jesus brought me out. That's Exodus. And now my sins are gone. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. We enter bondage. Always know why mankind has been reduced to what we are today is because Adam sold us to slavery. And everything about redemption process is about coming out of that bondage. Coming out of that bondage. And he began to set a type with parables, with stories in the Bible. Everything. Remember, we call it the script for redemption. Amen. These mysteries are so deep, brethren, so deep. And a lot of these preachers get themselves confused. I've just gone through the manuscripts of the book Pastor Elvis Frank is writing.
Professor.
Okay, they say I should call him Professor. Yes. Professor Elvis Smart. Amen. He's writing about eternal security.
Hallelujah.
It will interest you that we had popular preachers in Nigeria, including David Oyedepo, Bishop David Oyedepo, including, and sometimes when I call these names, some people say I am rude. I'm not rude. Many of them were intimates. We are age mates now, so we are in the same age group. So there is a way we talk to each other. So it's not. I cannot call Daddy Eneche. He's even younger than me. Including Oyedepo, Eneche. I think who again?
Baba Deboye.
Eh?
Joshua Selma.
And that young boy, Joshua Simon, Selman. I don't know whether I read him too. Adeboye too. We put what they said. He got the quotes and put them in the book. They tell you that it is deceitful. I think Suleiman too. They are there. To say once you are saved, he say to say you are eternally saved. Kumuyi too. You can see the big names. concerning salvation, God is not doing gamble. Hey. Hallelujah. God is not doing gamble. He is not doing gamble. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He knows the end from the beginning. The greatest mystery of this redemption is that it is God's own agenda himself. He designed Adam to fall. He knew Adam will fall, yet he created him. He knew that serpent will tempt Adam and see what will happen. Yet he didn't only create serpent, he brought him near Adam. Hallelujah. He knew it. That is why they cannot place the scriptures that tells us that God has chosen us in Christ. Oh, glory be to God. From the day you gave your life to Christ, from when? The foundation of the world. Even before the foundation of the world. They cannot understand why the Bible say in Revelation 13 that Christ was slain. When was he slain? From the foundation of the world, not in 1833. In the mind of God, he has settled that agenda. Oh, glory be to God. They cannot understand that God, it is through foreknowledge he does everything he does. Through foreknowledge. Nothing is by accident before God. That's why I say, you can never defeat the purpose of God. Anything you do, you are only working out God's purpose. Fulfilling his agenda. The mystery is too deep, and no human being can help God. Oh, glory be to God. No human being can help God. That is the meaning of grace. Grace is unmerited favor. He's the one that does it. Does it mean that he will send some people to heaven and send some people to hell? No. It is through foreknowledge of the decision that you will make when he will present himself to you. He wrote your name. The name is written when? The book of life from the foundation of the world. It's too deep for them to understand. That is the mystery. Now, why do we need that revelation? We need that revelation so that we have a father-child relationship with God. Knowing that you will fear him. You will not fear him because he will throw you to hellfire when you die. No. You will fear him because whom he loves, he chastens. He will deal with you the way you deal with your child. We that have received eternal life, once saved, the life you receive is eternal life. Amen. Oh, that whosoever believeth should not perish but have eternal life. Eternal life is a life that has no beginning and has no end. It is the life of God himself. How can he give somebody that will disappoint him tomorrow a life that forever? It cannot end. He will not take that risk. That was why immediately Adam fell, he withdrew eternal life.
The tree of life. I hear you.
That is the tree of life. He withdrew it and set a barrier so that he will not be like us. Oh, glory be to God. How can he have eternal life? In this carnal nature, we are finished. He waited at the appointed time and went back again to that same seed of Adam and then began to do a work of conversion.
Amen.
Conversion.
Amen.
Except you are born again, you cannot enter. Born of a spirit and of water, you cannot enter.
I hear you, sir.
That is the process of conversion.
Amen.
It will take your heart. It will come to the heart first. Walk on the heart. Then go to your spirit. Walk on the spirit. When that one is settled, then he will bring his spirit and put inside of you and cause you to now live a life pleasing before him. Oh my. That is the meaning of grace. Don't worry. The book will soon come out. So I told Smart, I said, I am a talking preacher. He is a writing preacher. So make everybody do your own. Praise the Lord. Anything where I talk, if you agree, put up a book for them. Amen. Put up a book. Put your name. If I sabi write, I will put my name. Since the message where they preach, they tape, now my name, then they write there. The one where you write, now your name, because I know they claim another person's glory. That's why if you tell me, say you see revelation, I will give you microphone, say, come talk. So that I'm not going to do lies. I know they collect anybody's glory. Praise God. Amen. Listen carefully. So, this is why all of us are in the condition that we are in. That is why I don't longer look at you. Imagine our papa, na Adamo. Our papa na Adamo. Our mama na Eve. He wiped off all the rest and left Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. All of us. Now that same blood, same father, Noah. Same father, all of us. But today, you'll be Igbo. I'll be Hausa. You'll be Benin, Edo. Edo people. No, they marry Igbo people. See us killing ourselves. Bandits. Kidnappers. See us war. Killing ourselves. Killing human beings. See World War. How many people died? See what happened during the Holocaust. See human beings. See ritual killers. See human beings, what we're doing to one another. Yet, the same blood. God is in the business of correcting that error. Oh, glory be to God. The process of bringing us out from this nonsense is called Exodus. Going out. He started with Abraham. He started that process, that agenda with Abraham. If we can read Genesis chapter 15. Verse 13 and 14.
And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years.
How many years?
400 years.
He himself allowed that to happen. Another mystery. Even not how long they will stay there, he will allow them to stay there until they will become a nation. Go on.
And also, that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace.
Thou Hallelujah. That was the prophecy. That was the beginning of the agenda for our salvation. He started it in this shadow. To fulfill that, Exodus chapter 1 from verse 8. Exodus chapter 1, verse 8 to verse 14.
There arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Uh-huh. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when they fall out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them tax masters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Phithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew.
Hey, again.
But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew.
Again.
But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew.
Go ahead.
And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service, wherein they made them serve, was with rigor.
And so the Exodus began in Exodus chapter 3, from verse 7 to verse 10.
And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land.
That is the Exodus. Go ahead.
Unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites.
Hallelujah.
Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me.
Yes.
And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
Go to chapter 4, verse 20 to 23.
And Moses took his wife and his sons, and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thy hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son.
Israel is my son.
Eve, my firstborn.
My first son, because there will be a Gentile Israel that will be the second son. Are they here today? Is the second son here today? Clap your hands now. We are the second son of God after Israel, spiritual Israel. Yes. Hear it. Exodus. Hear it.
Verse 23.
Yes.
And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse.
What is the purpose of the Exodus?
Let my son go,
that he may serve me. Because you cannot serve God acceptably in bondage. You cannot serve God in any way in Egypt. Go on.
And if thou refuse to let him go.
If you refuse to let him go.
Behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn.
Go to chapter 5, verse 1.
And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh.
They told Pharaoh. What did they tell Pharaoh?
Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Let my people go.
Let my people go. For what purpose?
That they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.
Oh, glory be to God. That was the, we know what happened, how they left, the remaining story in the book of Exodus. That is the first Exodus. This Exodus will continue until the last Exodus will be when God's own people will leave this earth and depart to heaven in the rapture.
I hear you, sir.
I don't know if you're understanding me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go deeper.
That is the last stage of that Exodus. As they left Egypt for the promised land, so also Egypt is this wicked world with the God of this world, Satan, controlling and keeping God's children in all the miserable condition we fight every day. One of these days, the last Exodus will be God. We come up, he will hang up there and call us, come up hither. That will be the last Exodus. And remember that after they left Egypt, he came back. Take note. He said that even when you go to tell him to let my people go, he said, he go, we harden the heart of Pharaoh. That's another mystery. The Pharaoh would have let the people go, but God went and hardened his heart. It's another sermon entirely. Praise God. It's another message entirely. For you to understand why these wicked people are tormenting us up and down and God is looking at them. But note it, afterwards, he came again and did what? And destroyed that Pharaoh. He did not destroy Pharaoh for refusing them to go. Understand? He did not destroy Pharaoh for refusing them to go. After all, he is the one that hardened his heart not to let the people go. He was going to destroy Pharaoh for the taskmasters, the difficulties that he made the children to go through, and they were crying unto him that made him to send Moses. But so that he will let Pharaoh know that there is a God that reigns over the affairs of men, that can do and undo, he hardened his heart to give him opportunity to display those plagues. Those plagues are the equivalent of the trumpet and the violent angels. The first trumpet sounded. See all the plagues that took place. Second trumpet sounded. And all that in Revelation chapter 8 and chapter 9. And you see all that. He came back and destroyed this world. He will destroy this world for all the nonsense they have let his children go through. After giving our life to Christ, they did not let us go. We began to face persecutions. Many of us, all that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. But all those that are persecuting us, there is the day of vengeance coming. After he takes us away, he will face them. You see why we should have hope and don't look at it as if there is no hope. It's a revelation. Now, but take note. After they came out, they reached the promised land and they were given the law. Listen, that same law, the purpose of the law was to create a relationship with God so that they can live a life pleasing before God. He gave them all the ordinances, but all those ordinances, God did not mean them to be kept. The mystery again is explained by Apostle Paul. But for the emphasis, let me emphasize where I am going. That is another sermon entirely. This same law that was supposed to let them have fellowship with God was creating problem again for them. They got into bondage by the law. The law became a curse for them. And they were dying daily as a result of that law, because when they left, there was no law given, so therefore sin could not be imputed to them. The law made them, turn them to become sinners because they could not keep the law. Man has no ability to live a life pleasing before God. He gave the law to prove it. The law kept them in bondage. So while they were in that bondage, God prepared for the second Exodus that will pull them from the bondage of the law to the liberty of grace. He started it in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 to 19. That was the preparation for that Exodus. Listen, church. We have five Exodus. If you allow me to use Exoduses, we have five of them. One is coming out from Egypt. The second one is what was promised here, Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 to 19. Remember that to deliver his children from Egypt, he sent a prophet, Prophet Moses. So, the second Exodus again will have to be by another prophet. There are two dispensations that we know of. The dispensation of the law and dispensation of grace. And all of them have a prophet. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 18 verse 15.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from like the midst of thee.
Who was talking? Moses was giving this prophecy. Yes.
Of thy brethren, like unto me.
Yes.
Unto him ye shall ask him.
Uh-huh.
According to all that thou desires of the Lord thy God in Horeb, mm-hmm. in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God.
Uh-huh.
Neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken.
Yes.
I will raise them up a prophet.
I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren.
Like unto thee.
It will be in the order of your own ministry. Yes.
And we put my words in his mouth.
Uh-huh.
And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him.
Uh-huh.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he will speak in my name, I will require it of him.
And who is that prophet? We know today that it is Prophet Jesus. He was going to usher in the second covenant. And that is why we see why Apostle John made that statement in John chapter 1 verse 17, that popular scripture.
For the law was given by Moses.
The law was given by Moses.
But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
It came by Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. He said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. As many, why did he say many? He came to his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him. It is an exodus for all. For the Jews, it was exodus from the law. And for the Gentiles, because it was both Gentiles and the Jews. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, not only Jews now, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither male nor female, neither bond nor free. We are all one in Christ. He brought us, exodus of God's children, out of idolatry for the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. This is now the second exodus. Out of idolatry, out of unbelief, and out of the law. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Take note, I repeat, we have only two major dispensations. The dispensation of the law and the dispensation of grace. I want to say something that I will make more enemies. Or revelated enter-message believers will start fighting me now. Amen. When we talk about dispensational prophet, amen. Dispensation, for the purpose of our salvation, there are only two dispensations. The dispensation of the law and the dispensation of grace. The dispensation of the law had a prophet. And the dispensation of grace also has a prophet. And the prophet for the dispensation of grace is not William Branham. The dispensation of grace is Prophet Jesus. You are frowning because I'm not lifting up your idol now. We know better than that. We know. Praise the Lord. We know. Who are these we? Are the we here? He said, we know thou art a prophet sent from God. Where shall we go? We know you have the words of eternal life. Who are these we? Are the we here today? Let them clap their hands if they are here. Let them. We know. We know better than that. Praise the Lord. See the pattern here. That is where we get confused. Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. After he brought them out, they got their freedom through the Passover lamb. The blood was sprinkled, and that night they left Egypt. Oh, glory be to God. He finished his assignment. Therefore, his ministry ended and somebody took over. But remember, the person that took over was only a continuation of the ministry of Moses. And that is why it was Moses up to the time Jesus Christ came. They were still, Joshua did not bring any new law. It was the same law that was given to Moses that Joshua was carrying on with it. Joshua, if Moses is a type of Jesus, then you understand why Jesus finished the sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb. Bible said Jesus is our Passover. He brought us out of unbelief. He paid the price for redemption, for our freedom. Then he left for Joshua to take over. Who is this Joshua? He's the Holy Ghost. Joshua is the Holy Ghost. He will not speak of himself. Oh, glory be to God. Jesus said the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, he said he will not speak of himself because he is the continuation of the ministry of Jesus. What was the ministry of Joshua? Joshua took the people to the promised land and established them. He is the one that divided the land. He gave to Dan, Naphtali, and all of them, tribe by tribe, all their land, all Ephraim, all Benjamin. Everybody, see your land here. Amen. And it's the same work of the Holy Ghost. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some this. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, take note that within the period while they were still under the law of Moses, there were other prophets that God was speaking to his people, but they were not dispensational prophets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were the mouthpiece of God to guide the people. They are. Hallelujah. Listen very well. Amen. The same thing today. The Holy Ghost is going to walk through the fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry. Therefore, you will have prophets, but not dispensational prophets. They are the fivefold ministry prophets. They are the living ministry that the Holy Ghost uses to guide the church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But when the law, oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. When the freedom was declared and the Holy Ghost took over the church, freedom was declared. It happened on the day of Pentecost. And the people, the movement of the people, the Exodus began. Something happened that revival died. And it will look as if Satan has defeated the purpose of God. Amen. No, he did not defeat the purpose of God. Oh, glory be to God. Something just coming to my mind again to establish Joshua and the fivefold ministry. Do you know, I said Joshua did not bring anything new. He continued the ministry of Joshua, of Moses. Do you notice that under Moses, they crossed the Red Sea? And when Joshua took over, the Lord spoke to him, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you also. He said, I will magnify you before the people. There was something he did with Moses that made everybody to respect Moses. The Red Sea parted. And so here is Jordan now before Joshua. For you to know that he's the same as he was with Moses, so he will be with you, Joshua. The River Jordan also parted like the Red Sea parted when they were going to enter the first land of promise. And Jesus Christ said, the works that I did, you will do also. And greater works. Hallelujah. Jesus healed. You saw what happened on the day of Pentecost and the book of Acts. The mighty healings and deliverance. That is the ministry of Joshua, the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. But this revival died. It was to fulfill another law of life. Except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. We have taken this several times. I don't have to dwell too much on it. That is why he allowed the dark ages. What was planted in the book of Acts, the first church age, and all the apostolic doctrines and everything, the three works of grace, justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's the three measures of meal that Jesus gave a parable in Matthew 13 and verse 33, that woman took with leaven and mixed it up and corrupted it, and that is how the three works of grace totally died, presented the Antichrist spirit with that black horse rider, the dark ages, almost 1,000 years. I've been singing this is for you to understand where we are now in the program of God. Therefore, there will be a third exodus that will bring us out of that darkness. That will bring us out of the dark ages. It will bring us out of the hand of that woman. And that woman is the woman in Revelation chapter 17. That false church. And that is what explains 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. The third exodus, it begins with what?
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
That is it. It begins with what?
Shout.
That shout. Jesus Christ gave it another parable in Matthew 25.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps.
That is the history of the church.
Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish.
Yes.
They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slept, slumbered and slept. And at midnight.
Now, in the darkest hour of the night, midnight, what happened?
There was a cry made.
That is the shout Apostle Paul is referring to. There was a cry, a ministry that is made.
Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out.
Exodus. Go out. Departure. That is the third exodus. Come out of the denominational errors. Come out of darkness. Where there is error, there is no light. It is darkness. That is what Christ was demonstrating in that parable. The effect of that shout. Mark chapter 4, again verse 26. Mark chapter 4, verse 26.
And he says, so is the kingdom of God.
You see, the history of the church. This is what, how it will go.
As if a man should cast seed into the ground.
And he cast that seed on the day of Pentecost, the church.
And should sleep and rise night and day.
But that seed must die. After it is dead in the dark ages under the ground.
And the seed should spring and grow up.
It will begin to spring and go out. Why? There will be a shout made. there will be a shout, come out, come out. And this shout will span three different periods to cover the total restoration of the three works of grace. What are the period is depicted there in the growth of that seed?
For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself.
Uh-huh.
First, the blade.
The blade, justification, will spring out again.
Then the ear.
The ear, sanctification, will now spring out.
After that, the full corn in the ear.
Azusa Street Revival, all the gifts that they kill will be restored. Under, all this fall under the shout. That is what you see in the third seal of Revelation chapter 6, verse 5 and verse 6.
And when he had opened the third seal,
that is the third seal that was opened,
I heard the third beast say,
yes,
come and see.
Come and, what is the third beast? The third beast is referring to those four beasts in Revelation chapter 4. The first one before the throne of God, the first one is the calf,
lion.
The lion.
The second beast like a calf.
A calf.
The third beast had the face as a man.
Uh-huh.
And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle.
Quote the scripture
Revelation
again.
Revelation 4,
quote
7.
Quote the scripture again.
Revelation chapter 4, verse 7.
Because some people are writing it down. Go ahead.
And the first beast was like a lion.
A lion.
And the second beast like a calf.
Now remember that when the first seal was opened, the first beast, which is the lion, said, come and see. The second seal was opened, the second beast said, come and see. Now the third seal is open. Go ahead. And the third beast
had a face as a man.
So it had a face as a man because of the men he will be using within that period. That is the reason why I say we are not under the fourth seal. Hey, enter message believers worldwide. You hate me for saying this because you don't want to look at the Bible. The symbol of our faith is not the flying eagle. Eagle. Yes, eagle in the sense that we have given the spirit of revelation, we can see far. But in the divine agenda, the anointing that he is using now is not the flying eagle anointing. The flying eagle anointing is for the Jews. When during the persecution, he said they escaped on the two wings of a great eagle. Why the two wings of a great eagle? He's referring to Moses and Elijah anointing in Revelation chapter 11, when the gospel will be going back to the Israel after the rapture has taken place. He will use the prophets to open their eyes. That is why their own symbol is the flying eagle. Hey, Pastor Moses, what are you saying? Call me and I will explain further to you. Because it is in this third seal that the rapture takes place. The rapture, we are told, and I preached it, that the rapture is taking place under the fourth seal. By the grace of further revelation. There's something hidden there. Read that verse 5 and verse 6, Revelation chapter 6 again.
And when he had opened the third seal,
yes,
I heard the third beast say, come and see.
And what did he see?
And I beheld, and lo, a black horse.
That is the dark ages. That's why that's is that same horse in the first seal. Hallelujah. He was a white horse. He changed in the second seal to a red horse. And all this means something in the Antichrist movement. These are the gates of hell that Jesus Christ spoke in Matthew 16. I will build my church and gates of hell shall not prevail. It is this horse, but it is actually the same horse that changed from white to red. Now, he is now black, depicting the dark ages. He withdrew the whole world from the church. Read on. Now, watch something. To let you know that was Catholicism. Go on. He said, come and see.
And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand.
He had what?
A pair of balances.
Balances. When you say balances, that tells you about commerce, isn't it? commerce, commercialization. The first church that began the commercialization of the gospel is the Catholic Church. Go ahead. Everything you do, you pay for it.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny.
Now, you can be doing your trade, you know, you can be doing your market, you know, but we did it. The last statement there.
And see, thou art not the oil and the wine.
What is oil and the wine? There is going to be a revival within that period. That revival is the response to the shout which began with Luther that broke out of Catholicism. Amen. He said, don't hurt it not. That is, it will not be stopped. It will not be tampered with. You cannot kill that revival because it is an agenda of God. It is that seed that died that is springing up again to life. It is unstoppable. And that revival will go on until it ends with the rapture. That is why rapture is in the third seal. After we are gone, then the fourth seal will be opened for the Jews, the Jewish revival. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we come out, the 3 works of grace restored through Luther, justification, sanctification through John Wesley, and the third work of grace, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the restoration of gifts that were destroyed, it did not come through William Branham. It came through a black man, William Seymour. Everything we are talking Luther, we are talking Wesley, it is history. And we know that in 1906, yes, the gifts were restored. And who did God use to spearhead that? It was William Seymour. 1906, and William Branham said he was born in 1909. Okay, now. So the revival started even before he was born. And his ministry did not even start in 1933. The ministry, according to William Branham, started in 1947. So for you to come and say William Branham is the messenger that God used to restore the gifts, you are misplacing scripture. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the whole entire message world, they hate me now for this. Because you did not come into the message by revelation. It's not revelation that brought you. If it is revelation, then remember that the response to the shout, there was a response to the shout at midnight. Verse
and
6,
at midnight,
Matthew 25.
There was a cry made.
There was a cry made.
The bridegroom cometh.
Behold, the bridegroom cometh.
Go ye out to meet him.
Now, there was a response. What is the response?
Then all those virgins arose.
And did what?
And trimmed their lamps.
And did what?
Trimmed their lamps.
What is the lamp? Revelation. Amen. You now know. Amen. What justification means? Contrary to what Catholicism taught you. You now know, without holiness, no man will see God. You now know that this sign shall follow them that believe. The gifts must be in operation in every living church. There are other revelations also. There is a right response and there's a wrong response. And I will prove it in a few minutes left before I end this sermon today. Listen. Amen. The emphasis, hallelujah, is trimming the lamp. To trim the lamp is to check your revelation again. trim it so that the light can be brighter. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Hallelujah. The path of the just shall live by revelation. It's as a shining light that shineth brighter and brighter until the perfect day, which is the day of rapture. Trimming of the lamp is continuous. We see in parts. It is the part he reveals to you, you hold on to. And he will continue to show you bit by bit. There is always the revelation of your day. All that you need to know for your day, God will reveal it to you. For now, we are under the ministry for perfection. Praise the Lord. Every day, if you read this Bible, the revelation become clearer and clearer, including the revelation for the Godhead, revelation for water baptism, revelation for the Antichrist. Hallelujah. Through revelation of so many things. Every day, it is getting clearer and clearer and clearer, and it is even more confusing because there are so many voices today in the land. Some of them know how to package themselves so that people will be following them. People will be following them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Listen very well. I pray that God will cause me to say something that will help me. We have finished the third Exodus. According to the divine agenda. Amen. After the perfection is achieved in the third Exodus, that revival. After the revival, everything is achieved. According to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, after the shout, what is the next one?
The voice of the archangel.
Say it again.
The voice of the archangel.
What is the next one?
The trump of God.
Now listen. Each of them is an exodus. The shout is an exodus. The voice of the archangel is an exodus. The trump of God is the last exodus. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at it. What is the third exodus is for the living. Now, what is the voice of the archangel? Revelation chapter 10, for the purpose of Bible study, verses 1 to 6.
And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven.
Yes.
Clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire.
Who is that?
Lord Jesus.
What?
And he had in his hand the
Who is that?
The Lord Jesus.
Church, are we together? That mighty angel, hallelujah, verse 1 again.
And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun.
That is a description of Jesus Christ given in Revelation chapter 1 and also in the transfiguration in Matthew 17. That is how you know that mighty angel there is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2.
And he had in his hand a little book open.
Yes.
And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth.
Now I want you to understand something here. That little book that he held is not the book of redemption. That book, he carries it because he's soon going to carry that book to give John.
Hallelujah.
So that John will eat it. And it will be bitter. It will be sweet in his mouth, but bitter in his belly.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
In that book, he has finished collecting his bride. He's going up for the last stage. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Jews are now going to be the next people that, because he has blinded them all these years, their eyes are going to be open now. Amen. The Jewish revival. Amen. That is what we see in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 11. He was told to eat the book. He ate it. And he told him, thou shalt prophesy again. Amen. That is the Jewish revival.
Amen.
To many nations and tongues and kings and everybody. But let me not go that way for the purpose of this teaching. Amen. Verse 4.
And cried with a loud voice.
He cries with a loud voice.
As when a lion roared.
Is he not the lion of the tribe of Judah?
And when he had cried.
And when he cried.
Seven thunders uttered their voices.
They uttered their voices.
And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices. I was about to write.
John was about to write.
And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not.
So nobody knows till today.
That's right.
What the seven thunders spoke. And I've explained it here. Why will God tell John not to write it? Because the answer is simple. All that the living need to know for the body change, he has no loss. He has finished his ministry for the living. His ministry is also for the dead. The seventh thunder has to do with the dead in Christ. Because according to the divine order, oh glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. First Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16 again, that order there.
And for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
Yes.
With the voice of the archangel.
Yes.
And with the trump of God.
Uh-huh.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain.
We who are alive.
And remain shall be caught up together with them.
Together with the dead in Christ that rose. And they rise as a result or the effect of the ministry of the seven thunders. That gives them their body change and they come out of the grave. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When they come out of the grave, it is then we shall have rapturing faith. That is the fourth Exodus. The dead in Christ rising. Then the fifth Exodus is the last part, the trump of God. The trump of God. That trumpet that sounds and gathers all of us, the living and the dead, that we are on earth here. Our body have changed. Then we shall hear that trumpet sound, and all of us will go in the Exodus. We shall exit this earth. Oh, glory be to God. We shall depart from this earth. It is the fifth and the last Exodus. Allow me a few minutes to make a further clarification. Because in the Old Testament, we have types. We have types. And one of the types for this departure, this
Exodus,
is the law of Jubilee in Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8. Read it up to verse 13. Listen very well.
And thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years.
Listen, you know, they were just doing an ordinance. They didn't know what that thing was meaning. Go ahead.
And thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee.
Seven Sabbath of years unto thee.
7 times 7 years. And the space of the seven Sabbath of years shall be unto thee 49 years.
That is 7 times 7 is what? 49 years. Verse 9.
Then shall thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee.
Now the trumpet of the Jubilee shall sound.
To sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land.
All the land.
And ye shall hallow the 50th year. And proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof.
Yes.
It shall be a Jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man unto his possession.
See what happens. What exactly is the activity that happens that period?
And ye shall return every man unto his possession. And ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth out of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in neat of thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field.
Verse 13.
In the year of this jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession.
Again.
In the year of this jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession.
So in any form of bondage that you are in, including debts, in that year of jubilee, when the trumpets sound, everybody shall receive your freedom. And so you see, if we fulfill in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15 to 18.
And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering.
And that wave offering is waved on a Sunday. On a Sunday, and it typed Christ, but let's not go into that. Let's go to the one that affects us now. Go ahead.
And ye shall, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering,
yes,
seven Sabbaths shall
count
be complete.
Seven Sabbaths from that day. Yes.
Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath.
Even that is even the morrow. So 7 times 7 is 49. Then add the next day to this 49, it will be what?
Shall ye number 50 days?
50 days.
And ye shall offer a new meal offering unto
you
the Lord.
You will now offer what?
A new meat offering unto the Lord.
A new meal offering unto the Lord. Go on.
Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2 10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baking with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord.
They are the first fruits. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. This, take note that 50th day. Amen. Hallelujah. Something is to happen. When you count from the day of the wave offering, count 50 days. Count 50 days. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then you will offer a new meat offering, but this time you're going to bake it with leaven. But you will offer this time, Rosie, with fire. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. So that you'll understand what happened on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 1, verse 3.
'To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days.
He was seen of them how many days?
40 days.
He was seen of them how many days?
40 days.
40 days. That is the wave offering. He showed himself. He resurrected and showed himself to his disciples. He was appearing, disappearing, appearing all of them within, it was about 40 days. And remember that while he was showing himself, the dead saints that resurrected with him, Matthew 27, they were also, amen, they were also everywhere until he went up. After 40 days, he ascended to heaven. But now, watch it. Acts chapter 2, verse 1.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly,
again, listen, church, Traddock, listen, digging deep members, listen.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
Now, in the upper room, what happened that day was on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost takes place on the 50th year. 50 days. There was an ordinance they were observing. That That is why where we got the 10 days. That after Christ ascended, that it was after 10 days that he came back. Because he came back on the day of Pentecost. And the day of Pentecost is supposed to be within 50. Hallelujah. You have to count 50 days. 50 days. Listen, you have to count 50 days. So, they had spent 40 days after his resurrection. If it was on the day of Pentecost that he came down, it simply means he came down after 10 days.
That's right.
While they were observing the offering of the new meat, the blind people, the Pharisees under the law, they were observing that day of Pentecost and offering a literal meat. The meat that was not being referred to was those 120 souls.
Hallelujah.
That received Holy Ghost fire.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he called them the first fruits, because we are going to follow hereafter. Praise the Lord. So take note. Why seven? Specifically, God does not play with numbers. Every number you see him using, there is a meaning to it. Seven is God's number for completion. Completion. Seven Sabbaths. Number seven Sabbaths. Seven is a type of the seven church ages. Because the rapture is going to take place in the seventh church age. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why 7-7? In Genesis chapter 7 verse 10, Noah's flood came after Noah entered the ark. And it came to pass after 7 days. These 7 days that Noah entered the ark.
Yes, sir.
Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
He entered the ark. After 7 days, the flood came. And he's speaking of two things, seven there for Noah. He's speaking of two things. Number one, during the seven church ages, the ark is being prepared and all of us are entering it during this seven church age. And the ark is the word of God. We are coming back to Christ. We are entering Christ, the ark of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it will take 7 days. But it also means that when the rapture takes place, 7 years after is the day of the Lord, that judgment will come upon this earth.
That's right.
Take note of that. It's always 7-7-7. But very important, where I want to stress, is Exodus chapter 21, verse 1 to 6.
Now, these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant,
listen very well.
6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever.
Church, listen. Listen. Now, this is the whole purpose of the exposition of this Exodus. The danger of not responding. That is the whole purpose of this exposition, this teaching I'm teaching you now. I'm not trying to tell you, I know Bible, I know this. How does it affect us? Is this Exodus 21. From verse 1 to 6. That is where you need to know a danger. If you refuse to go, he will put something in your ear. That slave that refused to go, you refuse, Abby, he will do something that will put a ring in your ear in Israel as an ordinance, and you will remain a slave forever. How does it apply to us now? We will look at it next Sunday, God willing. Hymn 198, can we stand up? He is coming soon. He is coming soon. He is coming soon. Oh, yes. Everybody, everybody, he shall reign.